Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 133 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I'm excited to bring you my interview with Dane Weaver from Dane's Craft Barbecue in Fort Worth, Texas. Did this interview about a month and a half ago, but as things go, I'm a little backed up on editing these interviews and getting them so they're both for YouTube and for the podcast, but I'm excited to bring this to you. His story is so great and so interesting. I think it'll be inspiring for you if you are just starting out. It's inspiring in general because it's a great story, but if you're just starting out in the barbecue world and you're doing pop-ups or doing the underground thing, this is what he did. He did this underground thing to get to the point to where he is opening a brick and mortar. It'll open, he talks about, between July and September, and it's an interesting story too to see how a relationship and his fiance Ashley, how she helped push him towards this goal and supported him along the way. And the food that he does too is really interesting. He speaks specifically about a sausage that he does with berries, which is awesome. And he's going to be on West Berry when he does open his brick and mortar. So that's kind of cool. And he'll probably have to keep that on the menu. And he talks about how he was inspired by people like Bert Backman from Trudy's Underground Barbecue and Andrew and Michelle Munoz from Moose Craft Barbecue, both here in Los Angeles, and used their story to further inspire him and make him realize that he could do this goal. His first smoker was from Dennis at El Cucaracha Smokers. And then now for his brick and mortar, because Dennis is so backed up, he's going to be going to another great guy, another great pit builder, Bricks Barbecue, and they'll be building his 1,000-gallon, at least his first 1,000-gallon for his brick and mortar. I know you're going to dig this. You're really going to enjoy this. Thanks so much, Dane, for taking the time. Enjoy. And I'm stoked to have the Smoke Sheet on board as a sponsor for this podcast. The Smoke Sheet is a barbecue newsletter that you should already be signed up for. And if you're not, go to bbqnewsletter.com to sign up. It was started by Ryan Cooper, who is BBQ Tourist, and Sean Ledwig, who is NYC BBQ. Both those guys travel across the United States. They go to barbecue joints. They go to barbecue events. They go to book signings. They go to everything in the barbecue world, and then they report about it. And if they don't go to it, if they're not able to actually go to it, they still report about it. They're always putting together lists so that they can put them in this newsletter. This newsletter has the latest news. It starts off with the latest news, and then it has original content as well as all of the barbecue events that are coming up in the next month, month and a half. So that way you can plan ahead and you can go to these events every weekend. It seems like there's just killer events, and these events actually get better and better every year, so you definitely should check them out, because you're definitely missing out if you're not going to these barbecue events. And then there's also a barbecue recipe of the week, which is a really good recipe. And if you go to bbqnewsletter.com, you can see the archives and see all the old recipes, see all the news, see all the old events, so you can create your own calendar and put it together for the following year if you didn't miss an event. But it's a great, great resource. It's something that you should definitely check out. Oh, they also have links to the latest barbecue podcasts, and it seems like there's a lot of them, and they kind of sift through and go to the most topical ones and the barbecue YouTube stuff. And it's just, again, it's a great resource. It's a tool that you'll use. Go to bbqnewsletter.com. That's bbqnewsletter.com. The Smoke Sheet is barbecue news worth consuming. And once again, I just can't thank you guys enough for listening and for watching the YouTube stuff. I really appreciate it, and all the feedback. It definitely inspires me and keeps me going, and makes me want to provide the best content for you guys and the most interesting things. So that way, on your barbecue journey, whatever it is, hopefully I can have a hand at giving you some additional knowledge and helping you on that road. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com, and I'm on all the social media at kevinsbbqjoints as well. But enjoy this. Thanks so much. Good evening. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great.
So what's a usual day for you look like?
Just still going to work. I'm working my Monday through Friday, still just like I've been doing this entire time. Work Monday through Friday at a information management company where we store documents for medical and legal offices. They got to store records for many years in case they get sued for something. And so it's kind of where we come in, and we store all that stuff. And so,
oh, nice.
Definitely not where my passion lies.
I'm sure there's someone whose passion lies with that, right? There's got to be, right? Some of that super.
I don't think so.
And there's someone like calling them on like Skype and interviewing them about document storage. And
yeah, no, I doubt it. So yeah.
Did you grow up in Fort Worth?
No, actually, I'm a military brat. So
okay,
I claim Fort Worth because now I've been here for at least I think 10 or 11 years now.
Okay.
And so I've lived here more than I've lived anywhere else. But by the time I was 18, I actually lived half of my life overseas, out of the U.S.
So, oh, really? Where do you live?
I was born in North Dakota. And then when I was 6 months old, I moved to Italy.
Okay.
And then lived there until I was about 3 or 4. And then I moved to England.
Wow.
Then I moved to California. So your neck of the woods.
Nice.
Edwards Air Force Base out there in Mojave Desert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're familiar with that.
For sure.
And then I moved here to Fort Worth around second grade. And then I moved up to Wichita Falls around third and fourth grade. Then I moved back to California. Then I moved to Japan. Then I moved to Colorado. Then I moved to England. Then I moved back to Colorado. And then I moved here.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was all before I was 18. And then I spent a few months in Turkey as well. Staying with my mom out there when I was around 20 or something.
So. What is that like for a kid? Like, what is that like mentally? Is that difficult?
Yeah, it was really rough because I always had to leave my friends. You know, like, you know, I always identified real strong with the group of my friends that I had. And so it was almost like every 2 or 3 years, I had to just abandon like my friends, you know, every like 2 or 3 years. So. But I guess it made me good at making new friends.
For right? sure. No, that's important. No, that's a great, I'm sure. Yeah. You're amazing at that.
Yeah. So that, but here in Fort Worth now, I'm kind of like a transplant. So I never went to school here really. Like no one I went to school with is here or anything like that. And so I moved here after I graduated high school.
What high school did you graduate?
I graduated from Laken Heath Air Force Base in England. And so it's.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, so it's about an hour or two north of London near Thetford. So I don't know how familiar you are with England.
I'm not. I wish I was, and I want to be. And I, you know, that's part of my roots are kind of back there in Ireland and stuff. But it's fascinating to hear about someone who's moved that much. And then I'm sure as you get older, you'll travel to some of these places again, Japan probably again, and
London. Oh, I hope so. Yeah, Japan was my favorite. Yeah.
I'm sure. No, Japan is. I lived there for 9 months, and it's such an amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's such a different. It's so different than.
Yeah, they just like idolize American culture so much, mm-hmm. and so like you have everything that you would want in America, kind of, but everything's just a little different. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's it's like they put like a Japanese twist on American. Everything like I saw one time I saw like rockabillies on the street, but it was like Japanese style rockabilly. It was such a like it was hard to wrap my head around that too. It's so interesting. What drew you to barbecue, and what started this road that you're on right now?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I guess my dad is from Fort Worth, so that's what brought me back here. Okay. Like my grandparents are here. My dad has 4 sisters that live here. All my cousins live here, so like everybody's from here, and so. So my dad, actually, it was kind of something that always on my birthday, he would say, like, what do you want? And I was like, I want you to make me ribs. And so he would always make me ribs on my birthday. And that was like, so that was probably like the most I really knew about barbecue is that my dad would cook it. And I think he would cook brisket every once in a while, but it was kind of a tough thing for him to do. And like he had the ribs down, you know, and so I was always like, I want you to make me ribs. And
did he cook them like a little offset, or was it just direct heat?
I think it was just a little offset.
Okay.
Yeah. So I can't remember too sharply, but I think it was always just like an offset or something, just whatever he had.
How did you get into it's so interesting going from like what you're doing right now to barbecue. It's kind of like, it's kind of like Brett or something. Like, were you doing it on the side?
Yeah. So it kind of started. I got really into it. I think I got really into it because I was finally in a house. Like I had lived in apartments
a
whole bunch. And so there was a lot of turnover and I was in a new apartment and I never really had a grill set up or anything. And then,
it's hard to smoke for like 8, 10, 12 hours on like a patio or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Your neighbors don't allow like that. It. You know? So.
But we got into a house and we ended up actually my fiance Ashley, her dad had left like a little kettle grill there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, man, I want to try to smoke something on this, you know, and just do an indirect with just the coals on one side or whatever. And
we've all kind of done that, yeah.
Yeah, so he left that there, and that's kind of when it started, just cooking ribs or just something simple. And then I bought a Weber Smoky Mountain grill, you know, and then the little bullet smoker. And so I started doing that.
That was my first smoker too.
Yeah. I had the little 18.5 inch one, and it was on sale at Walmart. So I went and got that. I cooked a brisket, and this was probably, and then I started getting into all the YouTube videos, you know, the Franklin videos, Malcolm Reed stuff,
it's so helpful. Right,
and, you
so,
know, and just kind of like, just really dove into all that. And then, I made a brisket, and honestly, like, everyone has these stories about how their first brisket was terrible. Like, mine was actually pretty good. Like, I don't know if I just accidentally nailed it, but like, the first brisket I did was, I still think it was pretty good. I don't know. I think I like just accidentally nailed it the first time. And so it kind of,
that's great. That's better like, that man, way.
Maybe I got something here. And so just started doing it for friends and family, you know, and it was just kind of a simple thing for a while. But
were you cruising around to any of the barbecue places? What year was this? Was this about 3 years ago or 2 years ago?
About 3.5 years ago. Yeah.
Were you going to barbecue joints at all, or just still just cooking at home?
Not really. I just kind of did it. Like, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan here in Texas. And so it was like every time there was a Cowboys game, it was a reason to cook, you know?
Sure.
And so I would start doing that and inviting friends over, and it was just kind of one of those things. And I didn't go out and eat a whole lot of barbecue until I kind of started to get into it, and then I started traveling out a little bit. But
what was your first offset that you got?
The first real offset was actually Ashley surprised me for Christmas with an awesome, like, I think it's like 125 gallon kind of like barrel. It was just like a 24 inch barrel that was like 40 inches long with a 20 inch firebox on it, like a 20 by 20 firebox on it.
Okay.
And so she surprised me with that, because I had been cooking on the Weber Smoky Mountain for a while, and she just surprised me. I think it cost like $1,200 or something.
Wow.
She had it custom built from some guy that, you know, just welds.
That's cool. And, well, that's super nice.
Yeah, I still got it right outside here. So
nice.
It hasn't seen much love in a while, but so I still got that. And so she surprised me with that, and she was like, you know, so I was just blown away. I didn't see it coming at all. And
but she could tell your passion, that you were really excited about barbecuing, right?
Yeah, Ashley's been like the main person that's kind of, you know, fostered that and, like, you know, really supported me in that passion, you know. So
it's nice to have someone like that. It is important, I think, for anything that you do, but it's nice to, it's a comforting feeling when someone's behind, like, has your back in that sense. It's really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of like how me selling it came about, is because, you know, I got so passionate about it, and I was just doing it so much that it kind of didn't make sense at some point, you know. It's like I would be cooking a brisket, and we'd still have like 5 pounds of brisket from last week that I cooked. And she's like, what are you doing? Like, we still have brisket. And I'm like, it's not about eating it. Like, it's about like perfecting it. And,
that's funny.
And getting it to where it's perfect. You know, I just got to try again. I wasn't happy last week with it, you know, and so I got to try again. And she's like, well, you can keep cooking it, you know, but we got to figure out a way, you know, to make this work, because you're spending too much money on just making meat. And so that's kind of how the underground barbecue thing happened for me.
And you're, did you see that people were doing underground barbecue things, pop-ups across the United States? Like, were you following people online?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Bert and Trudy's Underground Barbecue, and then Moo's. So I was familiar with them. And
I wonder how many people got inspired by the two of them. I'm really curious.
Yeah, no, I definitely was. Yeah, I think first, like, I learned about Trudy's, and then Moo's quickly after that. Mm-hmm. And I remember just seeing a picture of Andrew and Michelle's food, you know, once, and it was just like, it just kind of blew my mind. It was like they had a taco, and it just, like, there was all these bright colors, and it was just like so presentable, and it just looked perfect. And I'm like, you know, that's where it's at, you know, they got it figured out. And
yeah.
So they've inspired me a whole lot.
So how, sure. so then with your pop, like when did you do your first pop-up?
So yeah, we did like the underground pop-up. It was like the first month, January of 2018.
Okay.
So yeah, just a little more than a year ago.
Yeah, a little more than a year ago. And how, what was the response, and how did you, was it called Danes at the time, or did you kind of?
No, it wasn't. It was just nothing. You know, it was just like.
So how did you get the word out? Just tell your coworkers?
Yeah, it was just, man, I love cooking barbecue and I need people to come and eat it if I'm going to keep cooking it, you know, and I think I cooked like two briskets, a pulled pork and like three racks of ribs or something.
Did you sell it all?
Yeah, we sold it all, but it was primarily like family, you know. It was like people were like, "Oh man, he's really trying at this. Let's go support him," you know. Like,
yeah, Ashley's gonna kill him. Please be nice. And
yeah, for sure. And honestly, a lot of her friends, because she's more connected here in Fort Worth, and so she had friends come out and everything. And so we just, after that, once it was a success, we were like, you know, let's just do one the last Saturday of every month.
Okay.
And I started doing it the last Saturday of every month. Actually, this thing's kind of happened pretty fast. So
I know, because like fast forward to like we'll talk about the progression, but today like you're actually on the road to having a brick and mortar, which is crazy from like little, from one Saturday a month.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it really has kind of spun out of control.
When did you feel like it was like going out of control? Was that like when Daniel stopped by, or
no? Daniel hasn't stopped by.
I thought they wrote something in Texas Monthly, or maybe he just wrote about it. Is that what it was?
He mentioned us in like his barbecue newsletter.
Okay, is that all it was? Which, wow.
Yeah. So he's actually and he still never even reached out to me or like come by or anything.
Oh, that's
like
funny.
That.
But, I didn't. Okay.
But him mentioning me in that Texas newsletter made me like always on guard. So, you know, I'm like, because a lot of people, like even like Dennis from El Cucaracho is like, man, he mentioned you. He's going to stop by when your pop ups.
And exactly. I'm
like, so like immediately I was just like prepared, you know. Honestly, like before I even started doing the underground pop ups, my first like main eye opening barbecue experience was. Joe Zavala actually invited me to come out and cook with them for one of their pop-ups.
Okay, that's probably the first time I heard about you, I think.
So I did my first pop-up in January of 2018, and that December, right before December 2017, Joe had a pop-up somewhere, and I remember I recently figured out that he was cooking awesome barbecue here in the city I live in, and I was like, man, this guy's doing something awesome, and maybe I should reach out to him and just see if he needs some help, you know? I kind of know what I'm doing, and, you know, I'd like to just see if he needs some help. And so I reached out on Instagram and said, hey, man, I'd love to help you if you ever need a hand, need any extra people for your crew. And immediately he responded, and he said, we're cooking next Friday. Come out.
Wow, you know? And, that's cool.
Yeah, and so I immediately was like, I told my job, hey, I need Friday off, you know, and so I took Friday off and I got there, you know, as soon as I could and got there. And Joe had probably like, I don't know, it was probably like 12 or 14 briskets on his like 500 that he was cooking on then. And that was like the most I've ever seen anybody cooking at one time, you know, and it was a really cool experience.
Inspiring,
and they were so
inviting.
Sure. Yeah, so I just stayed there all night and cooked with them the entire night and everything. And so that's kind of, I left that whole experience like feeling pretty fired up, you know.
Like thinking that this is something I could do, right? Like this is something that's possible.
Yeah, or and just seeing his story, you know. If you look back in his Instagram, you know, it's like you just see, you know, he just started cooking one or two briskets.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then it just built into something awesome. And so, yeah, and then hanging out with him, and they kind of encouraged me, and, you know, they were like, yeah, really encouraging, and just, it was really cool being part of them, like the group there and everything. And so it was really something I wanted to pursue after that.
So when did you think, well, maybe I could open a brick and mortar from this? Like how did you, because that's a big leap.
Yeah, no, that leap's come pretty recently. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that was always like my dream, but as you know, back then it was just like this pipe dream, you know. It wasn't something that I like thought would actually come true, or really believed, but once I started getting into it, and then just the food got better, and it was just I started believing more and more in myself, and kind of here we are, you know.
What's on your menu right now, and then what's happening with the restaurant?
So right now we've just been, so basically the past like 8 or 9 months we've been doing pop-ups around Fort Worth, going to breweries. Mm. And something I've liked to do is, like, sometimes when you see pop-ups, it's like kind of a limited menu, but I've always liked to try to put out like a Texas barbecue menu at a brewery or something. Okay. And so I've always done like 4 or 5 meats and like 3 or 4 sides. Nice. Just like giving people some real options, you know. We started making our own sausage back in like July, back in July of 2018. Yeah. And so we make our own sausage, and we've been trying to get creative with that. And
I've seen some. I mean, it looks really, really good.
Yeah, we actually, about 2 weeks ago, we just did a new one, which people really seem to like. We did a berry Gouda sausage, which had blueberries, Gouda cheese, uh-huh, and like maple syrup. Oh, and it was just something kind of off the wall. But the brick and mortar spot is on West Berry. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to do like a play on words, kind of a pun kind of deal.
That's cool. Yeah, I saw that it was on West Berry. That's really cool.
Yeah.
You'll probably have to have that on the menu all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've thought about it. Yeah. So we've thought about like keeping that one around. People seem to really like it, but I don't know. Some people didn't like it. They were just like, I don't want fruit in my sausage or whatever. But
yeah, but it's also like that, like, you don't have to, if you have other options, then that's like, it's more like a sweet, savory combination. That's an interesting combination. Some people's palates aren't. Either they just don't like it, or it's just a strange thing for them.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But it kind of had a breakfast sausage feel to it a little bit. But
yeah, because you do have the maple.
It was fun, and I think it was just like a good, like, hey, we really do make our own sausage. Like, check this out. Like,
you're not seeing this anywhere. Like, this is something funky. Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. So then you just started to do a Kickstarter campaign. Did the campaign already end?
Yeah, it did. Actually, we had a couple people that came through at the last minute, like anonymously, and like pushed us over the edge. And yeah, okay. So actually, the Kickstarter is complete. And yeah, we met our goal on that. And so
awesome! Congratulations!
Really excited about that. So that's going to really help us with a lot of the kitchen equipment that we need and everything like that, and just like helping everything get together in these few months leading up to the launch of the restaurant.
So when does the restaurant open, and how did you find the location?
So this location, it was like a food hall before, that had been occupied for about 2 years by this food hall concept. And they had like ramen noodles in there and Mexican food and coffee and a bar and churros. But it was in like this small space, and it was just kind of, the concept didn't really take off here. And actually, we kind of stumbled upon it just because the guy reached out to us through email, and he had been following us for a while. And the place came available, and he decided that, he wanted to give us an opportunity and put us up in his building, So it's,
that's a nice, that's nice to go that direction and have someone reach out to you. That's really nice.
Yeah, for sure. So beforehand we were thinking about getting into food truck, and so that's kind of the route we were going, is a food truck route. But it kind of, everything I've heard from people that are in food trucks they're saying like they can't wait to get out of the food truck.
It's really tight. But yeah,
they're like, if you can skip that step, go for it for sure. And so it was kind of a hard decision, actually. There was one of the first places I did a pop-up at was this place, Lola's Trailer Park in Fort Worth.
Okay.
And I was considering actually trying to be there every single weekend. And then this other opportunity came up. It was really hard to try to figure out what I wanted to do, because I had these two opportunities on my hand, and I just didn't know what was the right route to go.
So when you say it's a trailer park, it's like one of those ones with like 5 or 6 different food trailers in a little park, right?
No. Yeah. So trailer park's a real confusing word, for that. It's nothing like a trailer park. So it's not or anything. That's just what they decided to call it. It's a music venue. Yeah. So yeah. They just have like a couple like bars that are like attached kind of in the same little lot.
Yeah.
And they have like stages. So there's like three stages and three different bars. And they basically just do music. And so they had a rummage sale that they did on the end of the month. And I would always go to those rummage sales and sell from there.
Oh, cool.
And they were like, hey, you know, we'd like you to be here permanently. And so I kind of committed to that. And then this other opportunity came up, and it was a really hard decision. But
I can imagine.
You know, we were just like, you know, the end goal is to have our own place. And if we have the opportunity now, we need to pursue that. And at first I didn't think it was like a legitimate thing, you know, and, but after, you know, talking to him and getting comfortable with that idea, you know, we just kind of moved forward with it.
When do you think it'll open?
I'm thinking somewhere between July and September.
Okay.
So yeah, we still need to get a couple 1,000 gallon pits built. We need to get the smokehouse built, and we need to do some of the build out and renovations in the spot. So
who's going to be building those pits, or is that a secret?
No, it's not a secret. Yeah. No, actually,
because sometimes it is for people. I'm like, okay, I guess you don't want people to know.
Yeah, well, so the 500 gallon I have right now is from Dennis, El Cucaracho Smokers.
He's awesome. And, he made Moo's Smokers. He's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like one of the first people to kind of inquire about getting a smoker. I think I was like the maybe fourth one he built or something like that. And
Dennis is awesome. Great guy.
Yeah. 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 He's great. So, but I've contacted him and said, hey, you know, how quick do you think you can make one? And he's like, man, I'm booked until next December.
Oh.
So I'm just like, man, I might have to go somewhere else. But actually, I think my buddy Trevor Sales from Bricks Barbecue, I think he's going to build me the 1,000 for the restaurant. So at least the first one. So
wow.
Are you familiar with Trevor, Bricks Barbecue?
Been trying to figure out the time to talk. So that's cool. That's really cool. Cause I want to talk to him about smokers and different things. So that's rad. That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like such a good friend, you know, actually, cool. Towards the end of like my underground barbecue thing, which was like around in July when I started moving into breweries, you know, I was like, man, I can't provide enough food for these people that are coming out on the little 150 gallon that I had. You know, I was using two Weber Smoky Mountains and then my offset. And I was cooking pulled pork on the Weber Smoky Mountains, and then I was cooking briskets and ribs on the offset. And I was like, man, I can't provide enough food for all these people. And he had just built a 250 that he built with his buddy from work. And he had only cooked on it like two or three times. And he's like, man, if you ever need to use it, like, go ahead. You know, if I'm not using it, you can use it. And so for probably like 2 or 3 months, Trevor just let me use his smoker.
That's so nice.
For all my pop-ups. And instead of like seeing us as like adversaries or competition, he's like, no, we're brothers. And
that's
you
so
can
nice.
Use my smoker anytime you want. And, you know, ever since we've just kind of shared info and, you know, been, you know, bouncing ideas off of each other and everything like that. And so
that's awesome.
I can't say enough about Trevor. He's awesome. And, you know, I'm really proud to be able to have him build our 1,000 gallon for the restaurant.
So you're going to have 2,000 gallons for him.
I think we're just doing one 1,000 initially. And I'm probably going to launch the restaurant just with a 1,000 from him. And then we're going to do the 500 that I already have from.
Yeah, because that's a lot. Like having two 2,000s, that's a lot. I mean, two 1,000s, that's a lot of space at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it seems that way. But, you know, I'm already like running out of space on the 500. And, you know, it's already getting to where I'm like, you know, I could use some more space for sure. Just so you can make sure that everything's at the temperatures you're wanting them to be at. I mean, you can cram a lot on one smoker, but I don't know if the quality will get up there, you know, like where you want it to be if you're trying to put max capacity on your smoker, you know. For sure.
So where can people find you right now?
Right now we're just doing pop-ups actually from the restaurant. Recently we did one from the restaurant recently. This past weekend we did a taco festival that was here in Fort Worth. Yeah, we actually took like second place in People's Choice for this taco.
Nice, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, thing, which was kind of crazy because we didn't really have much business being in a taco competition, really.
Hey, that's cool.
Some barbecue guys. But I think the meat kind of blew everybody out of the water, you know, as far as what everybody else was producing. And so
that's cool.
So yeah, it was pretty cool. And we were actually like 8 votes away from getting like first in it.
Wow,
so
that's
so
awesome.
That kind of exceeded my expectations for sure. We were just trying to get our name out there and everything. And so that was cool. And then we're doing Pints in the Park.
I saw that. Soon.
Pints in the Park in Waco. So I'm really honored to be next to Brett and Rossler and Guess.
Yeah.
You know, all these guys that I've looked up to, and I'm going to be right next to them, serving barbecues.
That's so. An awesome event too. I saw it from last year. It looked really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to that. We'll probably do a couple more pop-ups, and then at some point we'll probably start running like Saturdays only until we're ready to run 4 days a week and launch the restaurant. So.
Wow. What an exciting time for you. That's really, really exciting. That's nervous. I'm sure you're nervous, but like in the best way.
I always say I'm excited and nervous in equal amounts.
So is there anything else that people should know about your barbecue, about what you're like, your passion? Like, I know you're starting to get really in the barbecue world with all these people. It's so nice. What a great community. Everyone, most people are pretty supportive too.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody's been so supportive, and it's been really cool to just be part of the community. Everybody supports each other, and especially here in Fort Worth, it's been great. You know, Panther City Barbecue, those are like, anytime I've got any issues, I go to them and I'm like, hey, you know, they'll be like, well, this is what we do, this is something we've heard, but this is what works for us. And
how nice
to, you know, take that information, you know, however you want to take it, you know. And so they've helped us with a lot. So as far as the restaurant, it's just it's going to be like about 3,500 square foot indoors, and there's going to be outdoor patio. There's a really nice lawn outside of it.
Oh, cool.
We're going to try to have kind of like a brewery kind of atmosphere where you're going to feel like you want to hang out and stay for a while. We're going to have a full bar there.
Wow. Huge.
Probably
huge.
Eventually we're going to add some live music and a stage and everything. That's something we're going to plan, just like a simple stage out there where we can invite local artists to come and play. Nice. And then we'll probably do like a late night kind of bar menu as well, you know, kind of like a late night munchies kind of deal.
Nice. So you're thinking about like Thursday through Sunday, or do you have any idea kind of what you're thinking? So
yeah, Thursday through Sunday at first, and we might sprinkle in like a steak night here or there. Cool. You know, that's something I want to do, just like, you know, charge by the person and do like some like 44 Farms ribeyes or something, or just like some high quality beef, you know.
That's cool.
And you know, or just do like Sunday brunch, or you know, just kind of get creative with stuff like that.
And open for lunch right at the beginning.
Yeah, so it's going to be kind of like an 11 till sold out kind of deal.
Well, Dane, thank you so much. I this is so great. And it's funny because I've mentioned to a bunch of people, yeah, I'm talking to Dane, and every single person has said, yeah, he's the coolest guy, such a nice guy. You'll really enjoy talking to him. So I'm happy we finally got a chance to talk.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I've been a huge fan of your show. And
thank you.
No, like I've listened to pretty much all of them. You know, I was a barbecue nerd before I was a, you know, before I was a barbecue guy, I guess, you know.
And well, so that's greatly appreciated. Thank you so much. So,
yeah,
that's cool.
No, I've listened to all of them, and it's really cool. You taking the time to make sure everybody's story gets out and everything. And I'm just really happy that I can be part of this whole community, because everybody I've met is just so supportive. And it's just been a really cool time in my life lately. So.
Same with me too. And I look forward to come visit you, and hopefully I'll get a chance to come out before your restaurant opens, and then especially for what the grand opening or the opening, that would be amazing. That just sounds so much fun.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, well, I don't want to put a number on it yet or a date or anything like that. But
just people should just follow your stuff, and they'll
updates. Yeah, just follow us on social media, and you'll figure it out when we're going to be ready to roll and everything. I just want to make sure we get a good crew. So that's kind of the biggest challenge right now, is just finding people that are passionate about it.
For sure.
That I can entrust with the information, and, you know, that can execute everything the way I need it to be done.
Yeah, and so, work as a unit, a passionate unit. Yeah,
that's, because you can't do it yourself. No, so
don't try. Yeah. It'll drive you crazy.
yeah, for sure. So that's the next challenge, is just building a crew, building systems, and just like getting the whole dream together. So
awesome. Well, thank you, Ashley, again, for getting you the smoker, because that's what kind of propelled you towards the dream. And thank her and you for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, and Ashley's just been so supportive. Like, I don't know, I probably didn't say enough about her, so I want to re-inject that a little bit. It's like, she's always making sides and doing marketing, and I just, like, pushing me towards, like, making sure that I'm pursuing this dream, and she's been amazing. You know, I couldn't have done it without her. You know, like, she's as much of a part of this as I am. You know,
that's cool. So, well, you're lucky. You're very lucky.
She was just like, she doesn't know all the barbecue lingo and everything like I do, and so she was like, "No, I just want you to do it." But cool. You know, she's just as much a part of this as I am. So,
well, I'm super excited for both of you, and she had the better phone, so that was good too.
yeah, for sure. Yeah, mine's. I've dropped it way too many times. So.
Yeah, I'm surprised my phone's open. Well, yeah. have a great night.
Awesome. Thanks for reaching out, and it was good to talk to you. And
so good.
Hopefully, I'll talk to you again soon.
For sure. Yeah. Have a great rest of your week.
Yep. You too.